Welcome back, guys, to your Friday night edition of the A-List Lowdown. I think it's Friday, right?
Yeah, it's Friday. Yeah.
Friday. It's been raining and storming again. The sun is just starting to peek out here now for the first time in all day. It was cold today.
Like super stormy day here, too. Thunder, like daytime thunder.
Close to the furnace kicking in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's August, so the furnace kicked in July, so why not in August?
Yeah.
Carbon tax is working great.
Yeah, make it every month. Every month the furnace kicked in.
The carbon tax is working great.
Yeah, it's working.
So, yeah, I got a few things. You know, we weren't going to do a show, but a few things happened quickly, so we might as well get them out. In some ways, it's easier to do more short shows than try and do the long ones. And we got this morning, we officially got monetized on the channel. So now just by watching, you are somewhat supporting us. And thanks to, of course, Lord Timmy, who's signed up, like, gave us $35, signed up 10 people for the monthly membership. So
thanks, Timmy.
Yeah. So thanks to him. Thanks to all our new members. Welcome to our new members. I think we got 11 or 12 YouTube members now. So thanks for that. And we're monetized, so share the show, gets people watching the show, and that helps. Of course, you can go to a-list.ca if you want to get this in podcast format and you don't want to do the videos. You can check that out. You can see Graham's cat. So, yeah.
Are our titles for today's show the same? Are they the same story?
Probably. It looks like it's the same.
Can I guess yours?
Yes.
When you said we called it, I thought about climate lockdowns.
Yeah, well, specifically we said that climate lockdowns were going to be the next step after COVID lockdowns.
What was that? Okay, well, that's what Stolen Summer is about too. Yeah,
and we said that if you let them lock in your house over certain things, they're gonna start to lock you in your house over other things.
Have you seen the guy with the video that's like, this is the woods, this is not the woods, this is the woods, and this is not the woods?
I didn't see that one. Do you have it?
It's pretty funny. No, I mean, it's not really good to share audio-wise and video-wise. I mean, it's just a funny. Actually, I do have it. Yeah.
Do you? Okay, well, why don't I start for anyone who hasn't already figured out what we're talking about, or, this isn't even the right one.
It's one of the things that is truly, truly hard to believe at this point in 2025, that a premier of a province would go out of his way to just say these so precisely. It's just crazy to me that they're even trying it. It really is. I thought this can't be real. It's got to be one of these fake things. But sure enough, it seems real.
I thought I had it all queued up, but I guess I didn't have the here's.
Well, here, I've got Peter McIsaac, our past guest, is his little rundown, if you want me to start with that.
Does it have the actual clip, though?
No.
It'd be nice to have that. I have it on my Instagram. Where's my Instagram?
Oh. I should have it somewhere here, too.
Now.
Okay, yeah, I got it here, too.
All right, you got it handy?
Start with that then, I guess, or
yeah, let's start with that first.
Okay, hang on, the cat's in the way. He's gonna be a problem. Zeus, I can't see what I'm doing here, buddy. Whoops.
Okay, well, here, I got it. I should just have to refresh this quickly.
Effective 4 p.m. today, we're telling Nova Scotians, stay out of the woods. We are restricting travel and activities that really aren't necessary for most of us. Hiking, camping, fishing, and the use of vehicles in the woods are not permitted. Trail systems through woods are off limits. Camping is allowed, but only in official campgrounds. The fine for violating any of these bans is the same as the fine for the ban on burning, $25,000. And if you're a smoker, for God's sakes, be mindful of where you're butting your butt out. If you don't, you cause a fire, we will hold you accountable. So what does this mean if you have a home or cottage surrounded by a wooded area? we strongly encourage you to stay out of those woods, regardless of where they are. Please don't do anything that could unnecessarily put you, your family, or your neighbors at risk. This situation sucks. Summer is one of the best times in Nova Scotia, and we all look forward to getting outdoors and enjoying our scenic beauty that surrounds us. I get that, and I'm right there with you as Nova Scotians. But you can still go to the beach. In fact, that's a great place to be on.
He's right there with you, Graham.
It's unbelievable. I think you should read your post.
If there's a short trail to get from point A to point B, like from the parking to the beach or to the lake to fish, but that's it. No heading into the woods to spend time there. I know it's inconvenient. I know it's the height of summer vacation and people want to do all the activities that we so much enjoy in our great outdoors. We have a beautiful province. I know everybody wants to enjoy it, but we have to stay out of the woods. It's a small price to pay right now to avoid the kind of devastation that we saw from the wildfires in 2023. Nobody wants to go back there.
So there you have it. Isn't that something?
It's pretty sad, yeah. I think you should read your post.
Read my post?
Yeah, read this is on your Instagram, and this is what you said.
Reminder, your public land, not yours. It's held in trust by the same government that said the same thing about Indian land right before they took it. Spoiler alert, that private property you think you own, try not paying taxes and watch how fast it's theirs. The government doesn't serve you. It manages you and your land like livestock, and they'll fence you out the moment you push back. Public land, private land, native land, different names, same owner.
Oh, I like that. Same, nicely done. Same.
So owner. Then I could jump that over and actually follow it up with this one. I don't know if you've seen this one or not.
But I do want to play a couple minutes of McIsaac, though, but.
Listen to what's happening to this couple in the Okanagan region of British Columbia, Canada.
Got a couple of apple, a couple pear.
At first glance, Ryan King and his wife Lisa appear to be living the tiny home dream. They designed this tiny home themselves, nestled in their forested property near Peachland.
Kitchen, fridge, basically live edge tables that I milled up myself.
For 5 years, the couple and their dogs lived a peaceful and sustainable life here until the day they found a stop work order posted on their front door.
So I called up the regional district and said, hey, what's this all about? I'm not building. I've been living here for years. And the bylaw officer informed me that that's not allowed. And yeah, I have to comply immediately.
The issue, the district says the home doesn't meet building code, safety standards, or land use designations. And health officials classified their gray water discharge as domestic sewage. Now, the district has ordered King to remove the tiny home by the end of next month or face a $1,000 fine and legal action.
I definitely don't agree with it. It's like I've said before, I'm doing no harm to anyone around me. I don't think this is an environmental hazard. I think this is a very sustainable and reasonable way to live.
Not according to the
music,
which has issue with the way the tiny home was built.
They certainly need permits. They need to follow the BC Building Code, and they need to be done in a way that's safe for people and also for the environment.
So do you think that this home isn't safe for him and his wife?
Brady, I think that that's something that our staff have been working with for a couple of years now to try and ensure that whatever's built on that property is built with permits to ensure that they meet the BC Building Code.
The couple say they have nowhere to take their home and feel they're being forced off their land unnecessarily.
And the thought of it, given the deadline, you know, to be 8 weeks to be out of a place and you don't know where you're supposed to go, it's mentally draining. I don't think they know what this does to people.
The homeowners feel the district's bylaws are outdated considering the current housing crisis and only serve to make more people homeless.
Now, the question is this all about safety or is
bada bing?
Okay, so I mean, really, do they not understand?
But what? I don't wanna, I said I could follow that up again, but I don't want to.
No, I want to keep going on the fire thing for a bit. I want to play a little bit of Peter McIsaac's clip here.
Let's just go fishing with Peter McIsaac, I thought.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we should go to Nova Scotia. He apologizes for all Nova Scotians, basically. Like, if you plan on coming here for the summer, don't. They stole our summer. But I got to talk about that couple. I mean, what do they think? Do they think you can just build anything in BC or any province, really? I mean, I had to look up the bylaws for the sheds I'm doing. I mean, that's why I built the sheds the way I built them.
Yeah, but in the world, I could pull a camper up on my property and just live in it.
So, well, you might not. So I don't know if you might not be able to in BC.
Good example of your property not being yours.
You just have to follow the bylaws. I mean, I'm not saying that we should, but this is like people should know this by now, right? You can't just throw anything on a lot and then not expect to get, you know. I don't know. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with it, but people should know by now that you can't just build whatever you want on a property in BC.
You should be able to.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But, you know, I mean, especially the stuff about, you know, the building permits and safety code, all that stuff. Like, it's a tiny home.
Come and inspect it. Tell them what they got to do.
Well, it doesn't meet a whole bunch of stuff, right? It's not going to even be applicable to half the codes. This is the problem, right? And they're probably right. I'm not trying to poo-poo the whole thing. Maybe you
just throw it on wheels.
They're probably right that they need to update the codes and all these permits with the housing crisis, right? I mean, you'd think they would have new tiny home permits or they'd be, but I mean, these governments can't keep up on.
They just built how many tiny homes on the East Coast to cram homeless people into?
I know. Those are pretty permitted. Those are like auto permits.
The Brookfield ones come with a permit.
Yeah. You should just put Brookfield on the bottom and then it'll be fine.
All right, let's hear.
You know what I mean, right?
I get it.
You know, you shouldn't go all that way without knowing, like, that you're not allowed to. You should at least check, like, are we allowed to build this? And then make it.
What happened? COVID.
What?
They've been there 5 years, dude. They ran there during COVID. Yeah. You're gonna start asking the government for a permit during that shit?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So I think you posted this on X too. This is like the. You know, they have a hotline in Nova Scotia to rat on their neighbors.
I'm calling it.
Did you?
Yeah. Can't connect, be connected from my calling area.
Really? Wow.
They figured out how to restrict it down to. And you notice that's why it's not an email. Because they know the internet will respond.
If you see something, say something. If you see something that looks like a violation of the burn ban or woods restrictions, please report it by calling 1-800-565-2224. Please remember that some people will have travel permits to go into the woods.
A travel permit? You got to get woods to work.
Permit to work.
You get woods papers? You put it in the
This is the guy here that was doing the woods thing. I mean,
hey, everybody. Jeff Evely here. But over here in the woods.
Good to go.
Not
bad.
Everybody
goes in.
Yep. And accommodated. Oh, where is it? Oh, I want to go back.
It's all skipping along. What's
Nova Scotia on Mountain Road in Coxeth? And as you can see behind me, this.
Oh wow!
Is the woods?
He's been fined $28,000. That's not the woods.
Here, this is not the woods. This is the Department of Natural Resources. Where the conservation officers work, who issue $25,000 fines for going in the woods.
Anyways, should we play that? Do you want to see what they did?
Play it. I think this is going to be him getting the fine.
I'm Jeff Evely. I called earlier.
Evely.
I spoke to somebody earlier.
Yeah.
About the woods ban.
Yep.
And I understand that you guys issue $25,000 fines right now for anybody who goes in.
Yep.
I'm going to go in the woods over here. I don't want to make any trouble for you guys. Okay. I took this to court the last time they did it. They said I didn't have standing because I wasn't fined. So there was no money involved.
Okay.
So I want to challenge this order in court. And the only way for me to do that is to get the fine. So I'm not trying to make trouble for you guys. Okay. I just want a piece of Tim Houston. And I want to be as accommodating and nice as I can be. I'm just going to.
Okay. So I'm.
Good old polite Canadian civil disobedience.
So he's going to order him.
Okay. Yeah, I understand.
He said, I'm ordering you not to.
I'm doubling fines right now.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. So he has to be in the woods.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a violation yet.
Well, there's they're very nearby. I thought instead of crossing the road, I would just go in the back here just for safety purposes. You know, we can do it like that. Does somebody want to follow me out there? Or yeah, it would be good to do a witness. And if it's okay with you, I would like to record a video. If you don't want to be on camera, I can keep you off it, but I think that it's in the interest of justice that we provide a fulsome record for the court because of the precedent-centered nature of this case. So,
wouldn't you hate to be in that office at this time? You're like, God, this guy's coming by to do a video. I don't want to be part of this.
I can keep you off camera, keep your name out of it, all that stuff, whatever works for you. But
we'll be in court. So,
yep, we'll be in court, so we might as well have a fulsome record, right?
We have to go in one
yes. Three steps. Sure. You want to show me where the woods is out back here? Or drive wherever you want.
We still have to suggest that you don't.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah. He just ordered me. He said he's going to double my fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to defy that order. Nothing personal.
Okay. So whatever happens after you leave here.
Yeah. Nothing personal.
We got that.
Okay.
So, one more time, this is the DNR office on Mountain Road in Coxeth, Nova Scotia, and this is not the woods. But back here, this is the woods. So, I have a couple of conservation officers with me right now who are not on camera but have advised me that if I go into the woods, if I defy their orders to go into the woods, then I will be fined.
He should probably take off his mirror glasses. Somebody will zoom in on the cops in the mirror.
And guard. They also said that they would double my fine to $50,000. So I'm going to walk down here and go into these woods. I don't know that there's a good spot to do this, but I'm just going to make this as painless as I can for those guys and go in here.
Into the bush.
And they have me on camera as well, walking in the woods. All right, isn't this great? And maybe there's an easier way out of here than I came in. Let's try this. We good? Okay. Okay. And I didn't ask, but did you write the ticket already or?
Nope, we'll meet you back out front.
Back out front at the reception desk there? Okay, if I bring my camera, keep you guys off it? Okay. I'll see you in there, guys.
All right, is that enough or?
That's enough.
Should I keep going?
Can you fast forward to the end? Does he show the ticket?
Yeah, okay, let's go to the end. So he's in the office, standing there. Summons, 20,000. He thought it was 25. It's 28,000 victim for taxes. Okay, sounds good. Appreciate your concern.
So here we go. Oh, I have a ticket here for, let me see if you can see that. $28,870.50 for victimizing somebody. Okay, so more to follow.
I like
that. All right, this is our past guest, Peter McIsaac.
I'm on Canada's east coast in the province of Nova Scotia, and we have a major problem. And the rest of Canada, the rest of the world actually should know what's going on here. Our tyrannical premier, Tim Houston, has just implemented a 10-week travel ban in the province of Nova Scotia from early August through to October 15th.
10-week, that's quite, like, I don't know if he had to go that far.
Which means the residents of Nova Scotia can no longer walk in the woods for any reason. And if you do, you're going to get a $25,000 fine. Now, my background, I'm a 29 years professional forest firefighter here in the province of Nova Scotia. I'm retired now. But I can read data and I've done some research on what's going on here in the province. We do have a major fire threat in place. We have systems in place to deal with that. And the province has, in its history, only ever had four major travel bans put in place. And no place in North America, including all the U.S. and all of Canada, has ever had a travel ban put in place for a projected 10 weeks. So the premier has said from now through to October 15th, nobody's allowed to travel in the woods for any reason. That means no hiking, no fishing, no hunting, no boating, no walking through the woods to get to a beach. None of the things that people...
He said you could walk through the woods.
Well, you can walk through the parking lot.
The premier has stolen the summer of 2025 from the people of Nova Scotia and everybody who wanted to come here and visit. So if you're planning on coming to Nova Scotia right now, this is not the time to come. You need to cancel your plans, turn around, go back home, because we've got somebody in power here right now who's exhibiting symptoms of PTSD from fires that happened in 2023 and had nothing to do with his travel ban. Both of those fires, one was started by arson and one was started by a person burning outside of legal fire limits. Plus, the province was woefully unprepared for such incidents through the budget cuts and a series of bad decisions.
So I'll leave it there. I mean, it's pretty interesting that, they're not really increasing. It doesn't seem like they're increasing what he said, like being prepared for it. Here's Natalia. You can now assume Canada's forests will be banned for use completely within the next few years. Nova Scotia is a tester. Nothing that insane is done in a vacuum. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, I was just looking up a history of travel. This is the first ever, as far as I can cite, travel ban with a fine.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So he said last 2023, one was arson, one was somebody causing a fire, like creating a fire when there was a fire ban. So it just seems like it's a bit far to go, right? Stopping people from going.
It's not a bit far. It's fucking nuts. It's batshit crazy is what it is.
Oh, there's a bunch of people supporting it on the left on X. I mean, it is. It's
from those got to be bots, right?
No. Well, they're like, well, just follow. And I kind of understand this logic. They're like, well, people are saying, oh, just make up the rule, like let them follow the regular rules that are in place for no fires, for example, that kind of stuff. And then they're making the argument that, well, that was the same as the masks. Like, oh, so they didn't want to follow the mask rules, but now they'll follow the fire rules, the rules that are in place already. So,
I think fire rules are pretty good. It doesn't seem to be a problem when there's like fire bans. I'm sure it happens, but for the most part, when there's a fire ban, most people don't have a fucking fire. Unless it's new Canadians who just don't fucking comprehend that it's a bad idea. You know, Canadians for the most part grew up with forest fires and like, you know, almost every small town in the bush in Canada has like a sign outside of it that tells you what the forest fire danger for the day is. You know?
Yeah.
This is part of our culture.
That's true.
So anyway,
and they just don't seem to be doing the forest fire management, like the Jasper thing. You know, they were bugging them for decades to do the proper management of the forest. They warned that there was going to be a fire, and then sure enough, there was a fire. So it seems like government's just getting in the way and ruining it again. Right? We had a pretty good program going before.
Then you have this one from Caroline Elliott on X. A bombshell judgment was released yesterday by BC Supreme Court declaring Aboriginal title over land in Richmond, including private property. If this stands, it has massive implications for private property across BC. Read the highlighted sections and decide for yourself. So is this page one. Quechuan's Aboriginal title burden and burdens the land over which the Crown grants a fee simple interest were issued. I find that the Quechuan's Aboriginal title, which is grounded in the prior occupation of the Quechuan's ancestors and constitutionally protected interest in land, is a senior interest in land vis-a-vis the fee simple titles which derive from crowned lands. Aboriginal title is a burden on the simple fee title. I agree that Aboriginal title is prior and senior right to the land. The question of what remains of Aboriginal title after the granting of fee simple title to the same land should be reversed. The proper question is what remains of fee simple title after Aboriginal titles recognized on the same lands. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. See, the judgment itself states the question of what remains of Aboriginal title after the granting of fee simple title to the same land should be reversed. The province in Canada can and must appeal this decision. It's why. Oh,
hang on. Go back and ask that question prior at the end of that. Yeah, the proper question is
what remains of fee simple title after Aboriginal title is recognized in the same lands. The province in Canada can and must appeal this decision. It's why the work of the organization I'm involved with, the Public Land Use Society, is so important. It's not just public land anymore. It's private property too. But it's not.
Technically.
We don't even own the land.
That's you saying that.
Right? Yeah, that's me saying that. We don't own any of that shit. Even the public land is held in trust by the government, either the federal government or the provincial government. So
to the crown?
None of it is the people's. None of it is the people's.
To the crown.
The crown. Yeah. Well, either the provincial. Now they say it's not the crown. It still is, but.
Because they say it's the provinces?
About half the provinces and about half the feds. And most of the Fed stuff is like up north, I think. Like most of the public land in Alberta is owned by the Alberta government. But I haven't gotten real into the weeds on that. I mean, someone who's in the weeds on it might tell me otherwise. You want to follow up on Funke? We were talking about last week. Bro's been to Iraq, Mozambique, Turkey, and Israel. Of all the countries he's been to where he's faced the most resistance, Canada is at the top of the list.
Turkey and Israel. I've worshipped in Turkey, in Israel, in Iraq. I've gone into Mozambique, in all different parts of the world. And the biggest and most fierce resistance that I've faced has actually been in Canada. The biggest amount of persecution and resistance. And I did not expect that. But this goes to show you the heavy anti-Christian bias, the governmental tyranny, and really the need for the church to rise up and be bold in this hour. And, you know, we, every single venue that we went to, not only did we face these, you know, government entities that want to silence the church, but, you know, every place there's the mob, you know, the LGBTQ mafia shows up, and the protesters and Antifa shows up, and their whole goal is to stop the people of God from doing what they've done for thousands of years. Stop the people of God from worshiping. Shut up. Go into a room. Put a mask on. And you know what? I'm so thankful that a remnant church is rising in that nation, and we're starting to see a great pushback.
So can you believe that?
It's just a culture war on so many fronts. It's just polarization all over the place.
Meanwhile, back on the ranch, Canada renews funding for China's student exchange program that requires allegiance to the communist regime.
Requires allegiance. Wow.
Canada's renewed funding for a bilateral scholarship program that requires Chinese candidates applying to study in Canada to show allegiance to the Chinese Communist Party and uphold the party's socialist system. Dave Morrison, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs at Global Affairs Canada. Where have we heard of them before? On July 30th, signed an agreement with his Chinese counterpart, Executive Vice Minister Mao Zhaozhou, to renew the Canada-China Scholars Exchange Program. Through the program, Ottawa funds Chinese applicants to conduct research at Canadian universities as visiting scholars for periods of 4 to 12 months. The scholarships are administered by the China Scholarship Council and the Canadian Embassy in China. Epoch Times reported last year that the first condition for Chinese applicants listed on the website of China's National Study Abroad Fund is that they must support the Communist Party's leadership. To apply, applicants must uphold the leadership of the Communist Party of China and the socialist system with Chinese characteristics, love the motherland, have good moral character, abide by the law, and have a sense of responsibility to serve the country, society, and the people, as well as have a correct worldview.
As well as a correct outlook on life and correct values,
reads the first condition. Other eligibility requirements include holding Chinese nationality, being in good physical and mental health, and demonstrating foreign language proficiency and being no older than 50. I mean, it sounds like a spy fucking application program, doesn't it? The bilateral program also provides Beijing-funded scholarships for Canadian applicants to study or conduct research in China. So let's go down to the bottom. I don't think we need to get into anything else. In announcing the renewal of the program, Morrison said he was pleased to have welcomed his Chinese counterpart in Ottawa. Regular and open dialogue at all levels is key to diplomatic ties. Global Affairs Canada, in a post on the same day, said the visit was an opportunity to discuss challenges and advance constructive dialogue in a range of Canadian interests. So Beijing has a national intelligence law that requires all Chinese individuals and organizations to support state information gathering, including handing data to the state when required to help with intelligence leadership, with intelligence work.
Well, I mean, they probably just take it from us. I mean, we might as well just, it's probably not.
TikTok it to them. Here you go. No? All right. What do you want to go to next? Here, we might as well play this for anyone that hasn't heard yet. But if you got Air Canada flights, you might want to cancel them.
Some breaking news that we've been following. Air Canada flight attendants have voted overwhelmingly in favor of strike action.
We're tired of being undervalued, underpaid.
99.7 is like global warming scientists.
The union representing more than 10,000 workers says it was 99.7% in favor of a strike, if necessary. The vote comes after contract talks with the airline ended without a deal. Having taken the vote, the union says it could walk as early as the 16th. Joining me now is Wesley Lisowski, president of the airline division of QP. Wesley, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
99.7%. I'm not sure if I've ever seen a strike mandate that strong and that clear.
Yeah, that's incredibly high. Incredible.
Of course they got a dude, right?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, come on. Most flight attendants are chicks, let's be honest. But they found this dude instead.
Oh, he's the president of the union. He's the union guy. He's the QP guy on the airline division.
Really strong, and that was out of 94.6% of our membership who voted, which is also incredibly high.
So what is it with the flight attendants? What are they so angry at Air Canada right now?
Flight attendants at Air Canada Rouge have been in a 10-year collective agreement that we came out of March 31st of 2025. And it's basically the wage structure, the unpaid wage portion, and just work rules that need to change. It's been a long time since things have changed, and going through COVID, coming out of historic cost of living increases, et cetera, has created us to really strive higher.
And
you caught that part? I mean, I don't think we need to play anymore.
Et cetera? Which part? The part where he says et cetera instead of et cetera? What?
That coop union.
QP?
C-U-P-E.
QP.
So isn't that public sector?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I thought it was.
Well, I can look it up if you want.
Sure. Yeah, look it up quick. I don't have anything else on that. I didn't even notice that till just now that it was at CP, but I remember we've talked about them on previous shows for sure.
That's a good point. It does ring a bell. Canadian Union of Public Employees. Yeah. So how is that? How does that fit? Because they get so many subsidies that they're just public employees now.
They've been
subsidized to the public.
So we're paying the salary? I mean, could we just order him back to work then?
Okay, can I ask? I'm going to ask the follow-up question here. Why would Air Canada employees be QP, right? I mean, it does have Canada in the name. Is that why? So my question is, it's 10 years, right? You had 8 years to renegotiate. You had all this time to renegotiate.
GPT-5 is more woke.
Why? It's supposed to get less woke. So you've had all this time to negotiate. Now you have to strike. Like, you can't just come up with a deal without striking. Is that where we are now in Canada, that you have to strike to get a deal?
Yeah, but what did it say? Why they're part of?
They fall under because historically Air Canada was publicly owned, Federal Crown Corporation, when QP first began representing its workers. QP was established in 63 to represent public sector employees. Air Canada was still owned by the Canadian government prior to its privatization in 88.
Huh.
I was close.
So does that mean we just fund their union dues?
Well, I mean, I don't know. WestJet price matches them, so we're paying union dues for WestJet too, even though they might not be in the same union.
Well, here's a couple. I got two things left that sort of play on each other. So let's listen to this clip quickly. I don't know who.
Oh, we got to get that guy on. We got to get him on. I think if that's who I'm thinking of.
All he had to do was wait a week.
Yeah, we got to get that.
But he intentionally did that because Mark Carney wanted punishment from Donald Trump. There's a masochism here. There's a masochism going on here in Mark Carney's mind because he wants Donald Trump to punish Canada with tariffs because it allows Mark Carney an excuse. If everything is good with the United States, if the trade dispute was solved, where does Mark Carney find his next crisis? And that, of course, is the question. But Mark Carney doesn't have an answer for that because he wants Donald Trump to remain the enemy.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So follow that up with, you know, who we already know is his little butt buddy, Dougie Ford. They're out at the cabin having a sleepover. I mean, this guy can't even speak proper English. How does this even happen? I mean, you, when the country's getting run into the ground, listen to this guy's sentences. And the way, I mean, he's fucking borderline retarded.
World. Again, this is hurting the American people as the rest of the countries, including Canada, is diversifying our trade. We're seeing a 25% increase in trade with European Union. The UK is up by 30%. So as we're diversifying and onshoring products, the American people are losing their jobs.
What would the
creating more jobs, more opportunities? I would much rather, you know, work with our greatest ally and closest friend and increase jobs in both countries. And we can do that. We'd be the two strongest nations in the world economically. That's our goal. But unfortunately, President Trump doesn't want to go down that avenue. He wants to hurt the American people. And that's exactly what he's doing.
Oh, can you pause it for a second?
Closest ally and closest friend.
It's just so infuriating. I mean, what does he really think he's going to be the second biggest economy in the world? Like, can't they've got to get a grip on reality. They keep saying these stupid things, like Carney too, that he wants to be the most powerful. What do you think? What are you talking about? There's so many countries so far ahead of us. It's the most ridiculous thing to say. What were you saying?
Why would you go on American television and say this if not to infuriate Donald Trump?
Yeah, that's because it's
forever.
The other guy said,
as we have been for 200 years, and we will outlast the Trump administration and we'll continue working with our great American partners.
What's the general impression of Trump in Canada?
He's probably the most disliked politician in the world in Canada because he's attacked his closest family member, and that's the way we look on it. And when I talk to the governors and senators and Congress people, even Republicans totally disagree, but they're too scared to come out and say anything because the president will go after them, outside of a few senators. And I want to thank them for coming out and standing with not just American people, but their closest friends and allies, which is Canada. And again, we love the Americans. It's unfortunate President Trump decided to go down this road. World.
So, I mean, doesn't it seem like that the only reason you'd do that is if you were trying to piss Trump off, trying to keep in, you know, after your little cabin sleepover with Carney, you go on American television and freak the fuck out?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I kind of give him props for doing it. I mean, it's pretty good. I don't know what you're talking about with the English thing. I mean, it was okay.
It was, come on. How can be?
Okay, so I forgot. I remember last week when I did Candace Malcolm's CBC breakdown, and I was looking for a second one. I had two to I couldn't find it anywhere. Well, I found it in my folder here. So this is a great breakdown of just CBC. I think these deconstructions need to be highlighted. So this one, and then I've got something about too many white men and the armed forces and Canadian Defense Department. That whole controversy that's happening, they're blaming Trump on that as well. It's just disgusting propaganda. But so the CBC promotes an absolutely radical, absurd, and harmful ideology. Their worldview is antithetical to living a good life. A thread on how our deranged state broadcaster is casually waging a war on truth. Case in point is the story of a boy playing in girls' sports. Okay, it's an incredibly sad story about a confused young man. Everyone in his life, including the CBC, tells him that biology doesn't apply to him and that he can have and do all the things real girls can do. So here's a headline. Girls softball was an inclusive sport. Oh, of course, it's about Alberta too, right? Just another way to demonize Alberta. Girls softball was an inclusive sport in Alberta. For this team, the new law could end that. So young athletes starting to feel the effects of Alberta's transgender ban in women's sports. So here's a picture of him pitching. The CBC indulges his delusions, calling him they and saying he was assigned male at birth. So here's... They fell in love. They were 9 years old. They fell in love with the sport after watching their older sister play, hoping to play on as they grew and got older or got better. In Alberta, where Riley is from, the most competitive softball teams are girls' teams. This has never been a problem for Riley, who recently turned 15 years old and is non-binary thanks to include. Well, if it's non-binary, then how are they allowing him to play in women's sports? Doesn't he have to identify with as a woman?
You can play both.
You can be both?
I don't know. I've never been.
You know, non-binary means you're fluid and you don't know what you are. Like, doesn't it?
I think that's fluid. I think when you're non-binary, you've decided you're neither.
Okay. So that even proves my point more. So how can he be a woman on a woman's team if he's non-binary?
He falls to the lesser.
Oh my God. Less to the inclusive sporting policies, a co-ed mentality in softball and pre-puberty androgyny. All right. But the provincial government has enacted a controversial new law excluding athletes assigned male at birth from women's sports teams. All right. Athletes not assigned female at birth will have to leave any girls' sports
team. What province is that?
This is Alberta. This is what I'm saying. This is why this is another reason why they're doing it, right? The CBC interviews his activist mother and sells a sob story about how unfair it is that he can't play on a girl's team. The mother says that her son isn't very strong anyway, so what's the harm?
Poor kid's going to read that in the newspaper.
What? Simpson, who is also an umpire. Oh, of course. So she's an umpire. And has three other children, was frustrated. She says there were girls on the team stronger than... It's not just all about strength. That's part of it. Who would have been probably the third or fourth pitcher turned to Softball Alberta. The association overseeing Riley's team asking it to enforce the inclusion policy. So the CBC asked the Alberta government for comment, and the minister reasonably says they're trying to create a new league for confused children to play against other confused children. My words, not theirs. So this is Candace's words, right? Basically a league for non-binary people that don't know where they're at. But that is not good enough for the activists. So forcing kids to play. So this is the headline, right? Forcing kids.
If there's enough of them for a league.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It would, you know, forcing kids to stop playing the sport they love. I mean, can you imagine that? I really don't want that. It makes me angry that the government is literally forcing kids to stop playing the sport they love. The boy is angry, and the CBC quotes him saying the government is literally forcing kids to stop playing the sport they love. I mean, this is how propaganda is, right? But that's not true. He's not being forced to stop. He's being forced to face reality. Boys cannot play on girls' sports teams. Allowing them to do so undermines the entire purpose of girls' sports. It's a matter of safety, fairness, and fundamental equality. But of course, the CBC doesn't mention that. They take his anger as fact and make it the headline with absolutely no pushback. Next, CBC introduces another character, Sarah Kim, a man who runs a radical gender organization and plays on a women's hockey team. Kim says it's humiliating that he won't be able to continue cosplaying as a female hockey player next year. Yeah, that's the humiliating part. So there's Kim. Here's where the mind-bending goes into overdrive. Activist Kim says the Alberta law is dragging children into a political debate they didn't ask to be a part of. And the boy's mother insists there was no problem with boys in girls' sports. The only problem is the new law. The CBC, with a straight face, tells its audience that the conservative government that is the one politicizing this. According to the CBC, there is nothing political with allowing boys to invade female spaces. Nothing political about gaslighting the public by telling people boys can become girls. Nothing political about forcing girls into dangerous situations in playing contact sports with boys. Nothing political about telling children they were born in the wrong body and the solution to their problem is chemicals, mutilation, and compelling everyone around you to obey with your mental gymnastics. No, that's all apolitical, according to the CBC. The only one making this political is Danielle Smith and her conservative government for daring to introduce a law to protect girls in sports. This is quintessential CBC. No broader context. Nothing from those wanting to protect the safety and innocence of girls or the integrity of women's sports. Just one-sided radical activism, gaslighting, and pushing an ideology that causes immense harm, misery, and suffering. So, yeah, good one, eh?
Pretty good.
Those deconstructions. So, I mean, I'm going to play a clip from Jasmine Lane here because she does kind of a breakdown of, did you hear about the story about the hate incidents in the military?
Oh.
And they're blaming it on, you know, who, Orange Man Bad and all this and the white men. So we'll play a little bit of this and see if we might need to skip ahead a bit. But
the Canadian military is facing a resurgence in hateful and racist conduct within the ranks. We've obtained internal data that shows the number of reported incidents spiked last year.
New data obtained by CBC News shows a resurgence of hateful conduct last year.
I can't even listen to the mainstream announcers anymore, broadcasters.
The Defense Department figures reveal that since the military cracked down on hateful conduct in 2020, the number of incidents dropped year after year, but then spiked again in 2024.
Wait, so it's still way less than it was in 2020. It's back, just back where it was the year before. That's it. It went less.
It spiked. They shouldn't have even showed the graph.
It just the claims stopped are of trying it.
Intimidation, threats, and involvement in hate propaganda.
There's a link between that rise and the election of Donald Trump.
So there's a link to that rise, that spike, and Donald Trump.
Free speech, buddy.
Say the military still predominantly white men, which makes it especially vulnerable.
Because they're allowed back on X.
Yeah.
So now they're reading their X accounts.
Yeah. There's too many white men in the military.
You got more to do with Elon than Trump.
Yeah.
Terry's still predominantly white men, which makes it especially vulnerable
to those sorts of narratives. That
so how does it make it especially vulnerable? Because it's full of white men. So, the military's more vulnerable.
Racist.
A bunch of racists, just automatically.
That are trying to explain or trying to convince them somehow that, you know, white men have been left behind.
Within the last.
Lieutenant General Mike Wright says hateful conduct must be rooted out.
Something I probably shouldn't say on CBC, but pisses me off, is that the important work that the Canadian Army needs to do to modernize, our eye is being taken off that, our focus is being taken off that, so we can deal with completely unacceptable and inappropriate behavior.
Is it hot in here or is it just me? Wow. Well, I mean, okay, there's a lot to unpack there. First and foremost, let's just get through 2020. What happened? What changed in the Canadian military in 2020? Well, according to their own archive documents from Canada.ca, back in July of 2020, the CAF introduced a new formal policy. I shouldn't say new. It was an amendment to a formal policy, which was defining hateful contact. That definition included now words, symbols, images that promoted hatred or violence against protected groups.
So I get that in 2020, they made a change with all these symbols and protected groups.
The framework specifies that prohibited grounds such as race, religion, sexual orientation, and outlined steps for education, discipline, and prevention. And wow, is this ever about to get incredibly juicy? You definitely don't want to stop watching now. The policy was then modified again in June of 2022. In late 2024, more depth was added to definitions and preventative measures where they emphasized concepts like intersectionality, allyship, and psychological safety. So when this...
Have you ever heard of allyship in this context before?
I think so.
This policy was first implemented in 2020.
Ally to the gays?
I don't know what it means if you're allied to the right wing. I mean, if you're allied to the conservatives, if you're allied to Pierre...
Measures where they emphasized concepts like intersectionality, allyship, and psychological safety. So when this policy was first implemented in 2020, as per usual, they didn't actually really define what a hateful conduct would be, what a violation of that would be. So in 2022, when they revised it, they added that an act or conduct, including the display of communication or words, symbols, or images by Canadian Armed Forces members that they knew or ought reasonably to have known would constitute, encourage, justify, or promote violence or hatred against a person or persons of an identifiable group based on their national or ethnic origin, race, color, religion, age, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, marital status, family status, genetic characteristics, or disability. Hate.
I think they took out the protected groups. So maybe I could be falling that being short, you know, all this short hate.
It's coming.
Conduct, right? And that came with increased public and media pressure and the government's broader diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda, which, because it was top priority to make sure that we got these numbers, we had this data, there were people in charge to make sure everybody's feelings weren't hurt, reporting was now something that was much more streamlined than it previously was. In the past, people were waiting as long as 169 days for a report to be filed, go through, whatever. Now, they're waiting as little as 3 days. But you know what? I want you to pay the closest of attention to this. Let's actually just replay this portion of the clip, shall we?
The Defense Department figures reveal that since the military cracked down on hateful conduct in 2020, the number of incidents dropped year after year.
Now, according...
So you know what they could do? If it was 169 days, it's like half a year. At the beginning of 2025, they could just get rid of that backlog and all of a sudden, maybe it's not the date. You know, they're not going by date recorded, by date published or something, and all of a sudden they can manipulate.
To Statistics Canada, hate crime reporting in Canada spiked around 2017, which was driven mostly by increased reporting, not by proven incidents, by the way.
And the election of Donald Trump.
Experts say the military is still predominantly white men, which makes it especially vulnerable.
You know, the thing that's really interesting about this, though, is that they didn't attribute Donald Trump to any of this during his first term. But suddenly now it's his fault when he actually wasn't even inaugurated until 2025. And worse, and I know that this is just a general police report and it's not actually coming from the Canadian Armed Forces because those documents, data, statistics, much harder to find. But as an example, so Donald Trump ended his term in 2020. And during that period of time, the amount of hate crimes in Canada, as reported by the police, increased dramatically. In 2021, it went up 27%, 8% the year after that, 34% in 2023. And in 2024, the general reported hate crimes was actually only up by 1%. And one would think if somebody is so brazen to commit a hate crime, to have a hate offense, to be hateful in their place of work where there's some really steep consequences and punishments, they would likely be behaving that way outside of work, right? If they were truly just this insane, hateful, ist-phobe type of a person. So the data actually does not support the idea that hate skyrocketed during Trump's time in office. The real surges happened once Trump wasn't in office anymore, which would suggest a lot of other factors. And blaming Trump for 2024 hate incidents, especially within the Canadian Armed Forces, is unsupported by the timeline and also verges on manipulation, not insight. Disingenuous at best, propagandist at worst. And let's clear up a couple of things here, by the way, because Donald Trump, by all accounts, is not racist. He's actually the only...
All right, we don't get to, you know, they keep going now. I mean, she does give some good examples there, but yeah, it's just propaganda. It's just disgusting how they're using this against people, white people like me, white short people.
Poor dude.
You're just safe in your little Indian protection, in your, under your, behind your Indian shield.
My little Indian bubble. It's a nice little bubble. So, big thanks to you guys for tuning in. We hope you like the show. Share it, like, subscribe, comment. Thanks to Cody in the chats for sending us $5. We need a bunch more people like Cody. Thank you.
Jimmy so, Hat. Hang on, let me say something.
Most of our supporters are American.
What?
Most of our supporters are American.
Yeah. Jimmy says, what do they expect the military to be about? It's about killing the enemy.
The enemy's white.
Right? Yeah. I mean, imagine being in the military with not being able to be hateful and do like, you know.
We got to meditate.
Stuff on each other and hazing and all that kind of stuff. I mean, imagine how much trouble you get in the Canadian military these days.
We're not very.
I just hate the whole hate thing. It's just not. It's not. It's just not a way to. It's very undefinable and very ambiguous.
That's why.
And there wasn't a protected group in there now. So now it's just any kind of hate now. Now they've just extended it to whatever.
You could just hate the weather and
hate the weather. You just that's a hate incident.
Support the show at a-list.ca. You can get the show in podcast form there as well. Tell your friends, listen, share the show. And check out grayamerica.ca for other podcasts, grayamericaoutloud.ca for other podcasts. Contact at thecabin.com for trips and events, adultbrain.ca for all sorts of fantastic audiobooks, and grayamericacbd.com. No, you can't get that in Canada, so scratch that. BigSkyTallow.ca if you want to get some tallow and support the show that way. I think that's about it for this week. Have a good weekend. We love you. See you next week.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.